Yeah, 100%. Okay, so today, this morning is the morning of April 28th.
Yes.
April 28th, 2012, 3 days after Yom HaAtzmaut, the Old Broadway Synagogue, and we're going to discuss mitzvahs yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. The 4 years ago, we basically introduced this topic, and we mentioned at that time that there were three primary views with respect to the mitzvah of settling the land of Israel. So let's just review those three views. Okay, Igor, who remembers the Rambam's view?
It's not a mitzvah.
Right, very good. So the Rambam, let's put it this way. Let's take a little bit more of a neutral formulation, even though Seth is technically correct. The Rambam doesn't count it, doesn't enumerate it in his list of 613 mitzvahs. Remember, at the end of the Gemara Makos, the Rabbi Simloi takes a view that there is 613 mitzvahs. Now, it seems like an agadic passage in the Gemara, but most of the medieval authorities, most of the Rishonim who came along and counted the mitzvahs, accepted that they should work within this framework. And of course, there are many more verses, there are many more psukim in the Torah which could be interpreted as to giving commandments than 613. There might be 1,000. So you have to narrow it down somehow. And so everybody needs their klalim, the basic operating procedures of how you're going to count the mitzvahs. So the Rambam, in his Sefer HaMitzvahs, most of the Sefer HaMitzvahs is dedicated towards giving what the rules for counting are. Those are called the Shorashim. And then he lists what he thinks the 613 mitzvahs are. Now, the Rambam was certainly not the first person to try to count the 613 mitzvahs. Who are two of the famous people who preceded him? The most famous people who preceded him are? Sad Yagon. Good. So what was difficult about Sad Yagon's counting of the mitzvahs? There's a major methodological difficulty, is that he wrote it in a poem, right? Oh, so yes, it's very, very difficult, as we've spoken about. So it's very difficult to figure out what he's actually saying. So Rav Yochum Fishel Perlau, in the last century, came along and he wrote a brilliant exposition in explaining what Rav Sadia Gaon probably meant throughout this very, very cryptic presentation. But Rav Sadia Gaon was somebody who was operating long before the Rambam ever did in terms of counting mitzvahs. So what's the other very famous one? We don't know exactly who wrote this work, but...
Is this a Smog or something?
The Smog came after the Rambam. The Smog was very, very influenced by the Rambam, as was the Smak, the Sefer Mitzvos Gadol, the Sefer Mitzvos Katan, Rav Moshe Kusi and the Mikur Bil, two of the Baliat Tosvos, who were very, 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 very impacted by the Rambam. The Sefer Achinuch as well followed the Rambam, was very impacted by the Rambam's count. And then also you have the Yoreim. That's the full spectrum of Rabbi Lazar Mimetz, who was one of the Baliat Tosvos, who also has a Sefer HaMitzvos. But who's the other one who preceded the Rambam? Remember, Avi mentioned the Ramban. Mm-hmm. The Ramban wrote a defense of this person's count. Mm-hmm. The Rambam wrote an attack. Mm-hmm. Remember, this person wrote what he thought were the list of the mitzvahs. The Rambam attacked him on many, many, many points. Mm-hmm. The Ramban wrote a very vigorous defense of this person. Mm-hmm. We don't know who he is. It's another hint. The Baal Halachos Gedolos, right? The Bahag. So the Rambam by no means was the first, but he was somebody who was very influential. Okay, so the Rambam doesn't count it. Now, is that because the Rambam doesn't think it's a mitzvah? Or is it because the Rambam somehow thinks there's some other good reason not to count it? That is going to be the subject of today's shiur to a great extent, is what was going on with the Rambam. We'll at least discuss that issue. And
the Rambam does it, right?
Yes, okay, good. So the Ramban has a very trenchant critique of this Rambam. And the Ramban, as we'll explain, we're going to really try to take a look at the Ramban's pan view, the greater view of the Ramban. The Ramban in many, many places in his commentary on the Torah, at least three places, one in Bereishis Perek Chavav, one in Vayikra Perek Yud Ches, one in Bamidbar Perek Lamed Gimel, then again in Devarim and other places. The Ramban says many, many times that in fact, Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, settling the land of Israel, is a mitzvah. But he says that in two respects. Number one, actually having Jewish sovereignty, conquering the land of Israel, not leaving any of the land of Israel unconquered. But more to the point, as far as we're considered today, he uses a term that we're not allowed to leave the land, bishimama. Anybody know what shimama means? Desolation. So So according to the Ramban, this is very, very important. I'm always trying to stress this point. People who develop the land, either, you know, going back decades, you know, going back to the first and second and third Aliyah, when they're developing the land agriculturally, that is the mitzvah d'oraisa for the Ramban of Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, but also the people who are developing it in other ways, right? Economic development, construction, etc. All these things that contribute to Yeshiva Eretz are undoubtedly, for the Ramban, a kiyum d'oraisa of Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. That's a very important perspective, that cultivation of the land itself, not just military conquest, but cultivation of land is part of the Ramban's mitzvah sasei d'oraisa. Okay, that is the Ramban's perspective, and that is a little bit of the Rambam's perspective. Again, I'm just laying out the foundation. We're going to go much deeper. What's the third shita? Very famous view. This is what we mentioned 4 years ago, was the view of one of the Balei HaTosos, Reb Chaim HaKohen. And what did he say? He had a kind of... What would he say? We have yes, no. So what does the other approach have to be?
Maybe.
Good. Or it depends. So what do you think it depends on?
If it's under Israel's Jewish settlement...
Okay, just sharpen that a little bit. Good. Igor, just sharpen it a little bit.
If it's under the Jewish the sovereignty, then you have obligation. If it's not...
Okay, good. You're correct. But just sharpen that. Why would that be? I mean, if it's a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah. Well, if it's not a mitzvah, it's not.
The ability.
Yeah, mitzvah for mitzvahs.
Okay, good. So just take. We'll just fast forward because I just sharpen it. Igor is like Igor got us. I would say 85% of the way there. We just need to sharpen a little bit. Take a look at source 11. I'm just skipping ahead because I want. I just want to lay out the schematic before we go into depth. But source 11 is the famous Tosfos and Ksuvos. Why is the sugya in Ksuvos? Why is Tosfos here? What's the end of Ksuvos about? You have Ksuvos is about marriage contracts. So what in the world does that have to do with Israel?
I don't think it has to do with a spouse.
Well, one second. Abi's saying it. What's it?
If a wife wants to live in Eretz
Yisrael. Good. Yeah. Exactly. So the Mishnayos there at the end, they're dealing with the topic of both spousal relationships and also Avadim, who run away to the land of Israel. So in terms of spousal relationships, if you have one party in a marriage who wants to move to the land of Israel and the other party is objecting, what does that mean in terms of divorce payments, etc.? Can we compel people to move to the land of Israel? So that's the locus classicus in terms of the Gemara for all of the topics of how important Israel is. That's where you have the famous statement of Chazal, Kol mi shadar be'eretz Yisrael kimi sheyesh lo Eloha, Kol mi shadar b'chutz la'aretz kimi she'ein lo Eloha. It's like a godless person. Kol ha'mahalich arba'am bas be'eretz Yisrael, mechaprin lo al kol avonosav, right? He's a ben olam haba. That's where we also have the sugya of Kivura be'eretz Yisrael. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people who don't know Gemaras and Halacha, they make fun of people. If you didn't want to live in Israel, why do you want to be buried there? But actually comes straight out of the Gemara, right? Kivura be'eretz Yisrael is a major topic. So, you know, that's the major sugya. So Tosfos says there, source 11, Hu omer lalos. So Tosfos says, Eino noig bizman hazeh, de'ika sakanas drachim. Okay, it's dangerous. Vayomer Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen, de'achshav eino mitzvah lador be'eretz Yisrael. There is no mitzvah of living in Israel. Ki yesh kama mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz, v'kama onshin de'einan yicholin lizahir bahem v'lamod aleihem. So who can summarize what Reb Chaim Cohen is saying? That the mitzvah of diras eretz Yisrael, of living in the land of Israel, is contingent upon what other factor?
Safety.
Well, definitely sakanas drachim to begin with, but what does he say at the end? That there is a concern of
not being able to actually fulfill mitzvahs that are totally
it is, so it's not an intrinsic mitzvah, it's a contingent mitzvah. So
Medina Israel to ensure that you can actually fulfill them.
Exactly. That Diras Eretz Yisrael is going to be a mitzvah in its own right if and only if you're able to accomplish the mitzvos hatzliyos ba'aretz. But presumably, since there were going to be many, many difficulties in terms of trumos, maestros, not to mention shemitah, which is still a bit of a difficulty today, right, in economic viability, so then there would be no mitzvah of yeshiva ba'aretz. And not only that, but what word does he use here? A very important word, where she says, and also it might be a problem because there's an issue of onshim, right? If you're there and you're not able to really do it right, maybe you'd be better off not doing it at all, right? So don't even open that can of worms. Okay, so those are the three shitos. There's much, much, much more to say about them.
There's no Beit HaMikdash either, so that makes it a problem.
Right. So at least there's no Beit HaMikdash. You don't have to worry too much about your korbanos or, you know, not bringing korbanos. Okay. So let's
connect to the korbanos.
Okay, good. So that's just the schematic of the basic views in the Rishonim. But now we could really start moving things through things systematically. I just want to get a sense of how much time I have. Until when can we go? I don't have the chabura after this, so I can go till next Sunday, so you just tell me what our schedule is, and then I'll pace this year accordingly.
Next Sunday would be a little long.
Okay. All right. What are the other views? When should we end? It's now 9:40.
So we can go 10:40.
Is that right, everybody?
Yeah. 10:40.
Okay, so we have plenty of.
Let you be at the driver's seat soon.
Oh, okay. When people should feel free to go when they have to. And I just wanted to pace the shir accordingly. So the let's take a look at the psukim in Parshas Re'eh. Ki atem ovrim es hayarden levo l'areshes es ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokeichem nosein lachem. You're crossing the river Jordan to conquer and to inherit the land that God is giving to you. V'yirashtem osa, you should inherit the land. V'yishavtem ba, and you should. Dwell there. Ushmartim lasosis kolachukim v'shamishpatim asher anochi nosein lifneichem hayom. And you should be careful to do all of the chukim and mishpatim that I'm giving to you to do today. So the pshat and the psukim is that, okay, you're moving to the land of Israel, and there you should be very cautious and careful regarding shmiras hamitzvos. Okay.
Just one little.
Yeah, sure.
And I seem to remember it. There was something about the first 6-7 years of the settlement when there was certain relaxation of certain.
Okay, good.
Other Suri.
So there were 7 years of kibush and 7 years of chiluk of the land of Israel, and the view of Chazal was, and this is putting it very, very generally, that certain mitzvos didn't begin until after that period. What was the most famous example of that? That didn't begin until after kibush and chiluk. The what? Challah. Well, Yovel certainly that things weren't in place yet for that, but the mitzvah of Challah Ki says Bivoachem, as opposed to the normal formulation of Ki Tavo. So certain things weren't in place, and then again, because of Shas Milchama, there's a whole discussion Sota and the Rambam regarding what other things that may have been relaxed during that time. So yes, 7 years. It's actually 14 years total. 7 years of Kibush and 7 years of Chiluk. Obviously, the big question that has to be evaluated in that sugya is we understand very well that Es Milchama, the 7 years of Kibush, are going to be, are going to have their own halachos, but that should extend to Chiluk is a very, right, is very strange. Very strange business. Okay, so take a look here at the Sifrei. The Sifrei is the Medrash Halacha on Dvarim. So the Sifrei is the following comment on these psukim. V'yirashtem osam v'yishavtem. Ma'aseh Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseh Rabbi Maaseh ben Charash Rabbi Chanan ben Achai Rabbi Yeshua Rabbi Yonasan Shayyotzim Chutz La'aretz V'yigiyu Lefaltom V'zachor Es'aretz Yisrael. They were leaving Israel and they remembered, the sanctified, sacred place that they were leaving. Zakfu Einehem. They looked in the direction of Israel. V'zalgu demoseihem. They started crying. V'karu bigdeihem. They tore kriya. V'karu samikra hazav. Yirashtem osav. Yishavtem ba. Ushmartem lasosas kol achukim ha'ela. Amru yeshivas eretz Yisrael. Shekula keneged kol ha'mitzvos shebatorah. Wow. Based on the juxtaposition of the psukim of kiatem over mesayardin, then it says ushmartem lasosas kol achukim v'esamishpatim. So they have a comment here from which we derive two things. Yeshivas eretz Yisrael. Shekula keneged kol ha'mitzvos shebatorah. So halachically speaking, what two conclusions should we draw from this comment?
By living in Eretz Yisrael, you fulfill all the mitzvahs.
Okay, good. So that number one, Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael certainly is given a very, very lofty place, right? Certainly a mitzvah, but not only that would be the first conclusion, right? Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael Shkula Keneged Kol Mitzvah. So presumably, what this Sifrei means to indicate is that Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. The Ramban, by the way, cites this as one of his rayos that it's a mitzvah. But beyond that, it is a an arch mitzvah, a cardinal mitzvah, shkula. Keneged kol mitzvos, right? It's a mitzvah in its own right. That is the weight. Shkula literally means the weight, right? From shekel, like a coin of weight, right? Shkula keneged kol mitzvos, right? That it is weighted, right? In proportion to all of the mitzvos of the Torah. Yeah, Paul, go ahead.
This is just one opinion. In other words, the other opinion is to say, oh, that's very nice, but I don't buy that. There are other arch mitzvot, or that I don't even think that this is an arch mitzvah.
Very, very good. Okay, so let's go a little further. Paul, very well said. And that, methodologically speaking, is something that you have to do when you read any text, right? Is that, okay, how much does this represent? And that's why, in terms of our methodology we always use here, we begin with the psukim and we move on to the level of chazal, meaning the mishnayos and the tosaftos and the brisos and the gemaras and the midrashei halacha, and then we have to see the rishonim and then to see the codifiers, right? Because there's a lot of text. I agree with you 100%. Now, clearly, the Rambam, the Ramban, the Bahag, Reb Chaim Cohen are operating with the same primary documents, but they're drawing radically different conclusions for these kinds of reasons. Let's just look a little further in the Sifrei. Okay, go ahead.
They do use Priya. The bound today was regarding the law of Priya.
Yeah.
We saw Eretz Israel, but the question is, The halacha say we have to see the study the lowest part, the city of Yehuda. So why did we saw the city of Judean city?
No, so they were tearing Kriya, right, not over the Chorban of Eretz Israel, they were tearing Kriya and they're leaving Eretz Israel.
Right.
So that's why you go a little further. Ma'aseh Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua v'Rabbi Yochanan Nasaner shayu holichin l'nitzivim eitzel Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir l'ilmo mimenu Torah v'igyu l'tzidon. So they're leaving Israel. One of the things you're allowed to leave Israel for is to learn Torah. Remember, the Gemara in Kiddushin discusses is leaving Israel for learning Torah, leaving Israel us also for what? Why would it be in Kiddushin?
Yeah,
marriage.
For marriage, right? Mm-hmm. The other one's Parnassah. We're going to take a look at those Rambams in a little bit. Mm-hmm. Right, so it sounds like the previous story, except you know, with a different cause, or leaving for learning Torah. V'karu b'gdayim, v'karu sam mikras av yirashtam osav yishavtem ba v'shmartem lasas es kol hachukim ha'elav yasham yishpatim amru. Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael, shkula keneged kol ha'mitzo shebetorah. And therefore, Chazru ba'u lehem l'Eretz Yisrael. What's different about the second half of the Sifrei as opposed to the first half? Right, they just gave up. They just turned around and they went back. Okay. So that is a very, very famous Sifrei. That's where the Sifrei famously says, Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael shkula keneged kol ha'mitzo shebetorah. But to really understand what that line in the Sifrei means, you need to know another Sifrei, probably the most famous of all the Sifreis. Okay, the Sifrei is a very, very, very primary document. Halachically and ashkafically, and the Sifrei says something absolutely earth-shattering here. The Sifrei says as follows: Afal pishani megala eschem min haaretz. This is Sifrei in Parshas Ekev, from the second parsha of Kriyat Shema, v'ha'ayim shemoa. Even though I'm exiling you from the land of Israel, right? Remember, v'charapi, right? And that Hashem says, if you don't keep the mitzvot, I'm going to get angry with you, right? And I'm going to eject you from the land. So Afal pishani megala eschem min haaretz l'chutz haaretz hayu mitzuyanim b'mitzvos. You should still keep the mitzvos. Shek shetachzeru lo yu aleichem chadashim. Stop right there, and you walk out of the shir, you'll have gained something, because what did the Sifrei just say that should, right, blow our minds? What is the point of doing mitzvos in Chutz La'aretz?
Prepare for the
aliyah. Prepare them. Doing them when you go back to
it. Kishetachzru lo yu aleichem chadashim. In a word?
You should get your practice.
Practice. Practice. Practice, right? Everybody remember Allen Iverson's famous press conference? Practice, practice. They were criticizing him for showing late to practice, and he said, what are we talking about here? Practice? 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 So that's what I really say. Practice? And just in case you didn't catch the first line of the Sifrei says, I'm going to give you a mashal, just so you understand what I'm saying. Mashal, l'melech basar v'dam, shekas al ishto. So you have a king who gets upset with the queen, right? Vitarfa bevesavia. So what does he say? What does he do to her? He sends her back to father's house. So Amarla, right? This is a little misogynistic, but it makes our point. Amarla, having mikushetes betach shiteich shetach sri lo yoluach chadashim. Right. What should you do even while you're
put on
your
jewelry?
Right. Put on your royal clothes, right? Your jewelry, because when you come back, you're going to have to be the queen again, right? So. So just follow the mashal, right? When she's in her father's house, right? She has no functions as the queen, right? Is there any significance to her wearing her jewelry in her father's house? No. The reason that she's wearing her jewelry and her royal clothes there is so that, you know, when she comes back, there's not like, you know, a 6 month period where she has to get used to, that's how we did it, you know. She's supposed to stay fresh. So what is this Sifrei saying?
That's
really, you're right, it is really radical because it undermines the intrinsic value of the mitzvot, because it's a kame mitzvot. If the whole angle of the mitzvot is to prepare for Eretz Yisrael, then you can say, well, you know,
what does that
I
say?
Can do something else to prepare for Eretz Yisrael, I don't have to do the mitzvot.
Why do we bench in Chutz La'aretz? Practice. Mm-hmm. Why do we put on tefillin in Chutz La'aretz?
Practice.
Why? It's shocking. So the person who made this, when you talk about this Sifrei, the person who made the Sifrei famous was the Ramban. I'll show you why that is. This is all part of the Ramban's pan view. The Ramban's great contributions to Jewish thought was the way that he worked in Eretz Yisrael. into all these perspectives. But I just want to write a little bit of what I consider to be a wrong in terms of the record of this. Is it just 1 second, Igor? And then we'll stop and take questions just in about 3 minutes, because I just have to establish one thing for the record. Now, people talk about this as if it were only the Ramban who brought this Sifrei to life, but it's just not so. I want to show you that it's a very well-established... Because, again, there's nothing more radical than this Sifrei. A lot of people have tried to downplay it, but it's not just the Ramban. The Ramban made it famous, perhaps, but it's a Rashi and it's a Rashba as well. So what I'm here to do this morning is a couple of things, but at the very least that, I want to demonstrate. Take a look at Rashi. This is a Rashi, V'samtem Mistavrayi Eila, Alav Avchem V'al Na'avshechem. So Rashi quotes the Sifrei. Rashi, there are many, many Sifreis, very, very few of the Sifreis in total, made, even though Rashi quotes Avram from the Sifrei, but in terms of the total number of Sifreis that made it into Rashi's Perush, it's not anywhere near the majority of them. Okay, it's a small minority. Afla achar shetiglu hayu mitzuyanu b'mitzvos heinichu tzvilin asu mizazos. Why? Kidei shelo yulachem chadashim kshetachzur. Rashi quotes it straight. Wow. And of course it is the Ramban. Now the Ramban beautifully here works the two sifreis together. Again, we have two shocking sifreis. Number one, the practice sifrei, as I like to call it. The other sifrei is the shkula keneged kol ha-mitzvah sifrei. And obviously you can see them working together.
Right.
So just somebody, but before we see the Ramban, somebody just put them together. How is the Ramban going to use Sifrei A to explain Sifrei B?
Because the most important thing is living in the land of Israel, and everything else is supports.
Bingo! Life. If you really believe the other Sifrei, which says that really the only way to do the mitzvahs properly is in the land of Israel. So then it makes a lot of sense to say Yeshiva Sarah Sal Shkula Kenag Kola Mitzvahs, because it is the ambient environment which is required for mitzvah performance. It is the prerequisite. You can't take chemistry 102 without taking chemistry 101, if you will. So you can't really do tefillin and mezuzos and lulav or shofar or anything else for that matter without the right environment, without the right context. And the right context is Israel. So take a look. The Ramban just masterfully worked these two sifreis together. The Ramban says, Yunei Akasuv Sha'amar Vavata Meir Vesamtis Vray Eila Enu Mechai Begalos Ela Bechovas Haguf Ketfilin Umezuzos Upir Shubahen Kajeli Shelo Yuchadashim Aleinu Kshenach Shol Aretz Ki Ikar Kol Amitzos L'Yoshvim Ba'aretz Hashem. Ulefikach amru b'sifrei v'yirashtem osav yishavtem ba u'shmartem lasos yeshivas eretz Yisrael shkula keneged kol mitzvos shebetorah. So I was delighted, right? The lefikach there means therefore. This is the explanation for what would otherwise be a very complicated and cryptic sifrei. Right? Yeshivas eretz Yisrael shkula keneged kol mitzvos. What that means is that without Israel, you can never really do the mitzvos right. Now, yeah, I was reading an essay that Rav Lichtenstein published earlier this year, and there he was writing about Rav Huttner, and I don't know whether he did it with a bracha or not, which is obviously significant, but Rav Huttner, if he had been traveling to Israel that day on a plane, and he had already been put on tefillin, he would put on tefillin again. I don't remember what the bracha, because he said, before this point, he said in Yiddish, and I'm not going to quote it exactly correctly, up until now we put on galus tefillin, now we put on Eretz Yisrael tefillin. So he paskin this Ramban. Right, again, it's a chovas haguf. I should really bring in a line. But in any event, the point of the matter is that the Ramban put the two sifreis together. As I mentioned, people say, oh, it's just the Ramban. You know, the Ramban was a wild-eyed Zionist. But it's not just the Ramban, it's a Rashi. And I want to show you, it's not just even a Rashi, but it's a Rashba as well. If you take a look at the seventh source, I'll come back to the intervening Ramban in just a second. The Rashba was a giant of giants. The Rashba was the Rav in... Where was the Rashba? Anybody remember? The Rashba lived in Shlom ben Avram Adaret. He was in Spain. He was in Barcelona. So he was the unquestioned gadol. He was unquestioned gadol hador.
Is he influenced by the Rambam, though.
Oh, okay. So I'll give you a little bit of the relevant history here. So the Rashba.
You know, in Mansi, there's a rabbi of yours. I don't know.
Okay.
He's a descendant.
He's a descendant of the Rashba. That's big yichus. Wow. The Rashba was really a giant. He was a giant in all areas in halacha and machshava, you know, it's important to have a sense of appreciation for what the Rashba gave to the Mesorah. The Rashba, if you look at all of the halachos of Yoredei and the Shulchan Aruch, laws of kashrus, etc., are basically lifted straight from the Rashba. The Rashba, I mean, he doesn't hide it. The Rashba wrote a sefer called the Torah Habayis, and the Torah Habayis basically goes through all of Jewish dietary law, And that was just one of many things. The Rashba wrote a commentary on Shas as well, the Chidushei Rashba, which is a classic. The Rashba lived in the 13th century. Not only that, but he wrote many, many, many Shelos Utruvos, which are just classics, and that were picked up by Rabbi Yosef Karo also, and really became... So the Rashba is certainly in the top five, probably in the top three in terms of influence on halacha to this day. But not only that, the Rashba was a great rabbinic leader of his time. So the Rashba is the one who integrated the Rush into Spanish Jewish life. Remember, when the Rush fled from Germany after the Maharam Rutenberg was taken in captivity in the late 13th century, the Rush fled and he came to Barcelona. And obviously these two giants appreciated each other, right? When you're on that level, it's very hard to find people to, you know, to speak and learn with. So the Rashba was very impressed by the Rush, and so the Rush stayed in Barcelona, right? He encountered the Rashba very soon after he crossed over into Spain, northeast of Spain, Catalan. So the Rashba said, this guy really knows his stuff, so he put him to be the rabbi in Toledo. So the Rush then took over in Toledo, but it was to the Rashba's credit that he successfully integrated the Rush into Spanish life. And we all benefited from that, because the Rush brought the tradition of the Bali Atosos that he got from the Maharam Rutenberg, who got from Rabbeinu Tam, and the Ri, etc., and integrated it into one halachic work called the Tur. The Rush's son wrote the Tur, which a lot of his father's perspectives, but also a lot of what he had picked up in Sfarad. So the Rashba was a giant. Now, Steve asked the relevant question here. The Rashba was a Talmud Muvak of the Ramban. And so I just want to show you again, so the Rashba is a weight in his own right, but in terms of his derech is very much to unpack the Ramban. The Ramban wrote, in terms of his contributions on Shas, in a very esoteric way. It's not always particularly clear what he's saying. So the project of people like the Rashba, the Ra'ah, the Ritva, the Ran, especially those four who are Chachmei Sfarad, the next two centuries, was to unpack the perspectives in the Ramban, and sometimes they disagree, but they're very, 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 very important to be shown him. So the Rashba here says the following. And again, the reason that I'm just showing you this Rashba is to show you this is not just the Ramban's idea. The Ramban is a wild-eyed Zionist, the one who counts Yeshiva's Herzl, the Mitzvah, etc., etc. But the Rashba, just like Rashi, Paskin, this Sifrei, or brought up the Sifrei, take a look at the Rashba. So Sha'alta, somebody asked the Rashba a question. Masha Amru kol adar b'chutz laretz kemi she'en lo eloha. That is the Gemara, of course, that we mentioned from Ksuvos. Mm-hmm. Now, there are a lot of interesting things to say about this, right? First and foremost, you see that they weren't just asking the Rashba halacha questions. What kind of question is this? Somebody asked the Rashba, explain the Gemara to me. It's a difficult Gemara. What does it mean, kol adar b'chutz laretz kemi she'en lo eloha? Where are they asking this question? In Barcelona. Are you saying, you know, what is the Rashba? Ein lo eloha? The Rashba is a giant. The Rashba knows kol Torah kula. So tshuva, watch what the Rashba says. Lefish eretz yishol nikreis nachlas Hashem, dechsiv ki girshuni hayom yistapeach b'nachlas Hashem. He's working off the Gemara Ksuvos here. V'hu yisparach nikra alohei ha'aretz u'miyuchades lo v'lo l'sari mala k'dechsiv b'kusim ki lo yadu es mishpat alohei ha'aretz. Here he's working off a kind of Kabbalistic doctrine that all the lands have their kind of sarei elyon, that God appoints a kind of ministering celestial forces that are affiliated with different lands, but Israel alone doesn't have any intervening layer, as it were. Again, I'm not a Kabbalist, but whatever that means. Obviously, God is the only force in the universe, but the way that he chooses to run the universe here is through these Sarei Elyon, with, of course, the exception of Israel. In other words, what are they trying to do? They're trying to explain. The Ramban has this doctrine, the Rashba has this doctrine, obviously the Rambam doesn't, the Rambam doesn't believe in any of this stuff, but what are they really explaining? They're using this whole elegant scheme to basically say Eretz Yisrael has special hashgacha. That's the bottom line that you can extract from this, even without the Sarei Elyon stuff. V'alkein kara l'avodah zarah Elohei nechar ha'aretz. That's why, right, Mikra uses language for Avodah Zarah of the gods of foreign lands, meaning that's what they're indicating. Okay, whatever. Uksiv tamidin Hashem Elokecha ba. Right, there's special hashgacha in the land of Israel because there's no intervening layers. V'ikar mitzvos haTorah kulan ba'aretz hein. Ad ki kama mitzvos ein nohagos klal ela ba'aretz. Now, where did he get that line? Ikar mitzvos haTorah kulan ba'aretz hein. That is straight from the Ramban. That's exactly the language the Ramban used. We saw it in Source 5. The Ramban says, ki ikar kola mitzvos liyoshvin ba'aretz Hashem. That's just a lift. That's a straight. Okay? You can just trace the development of these ideas. V'ikar mitzvos haTorah kulan ba'aretzein ad ki kamen mitzvos eino hagos klal ala ba'aretz. And then one of his riyas he brings in, and I can prove this to you because there are, after all, so many mitzvos which are only noheg in the land of Israel itself.
You could use exactly that differentiation to make the case that only those mitzvot which only apply in the land of Israel are the only ones where their ikar is in the land. And you could say that all the ones that still apply outside, their ikar still apply.
Correct. That's why it's such an important thing, because it's obviously the type of halachic fact that could be interpreted from multiple perspectives. So the way that he sees it is so indicative of his perspective. That's precisely what I wanted to draw. The fact that he even sees this as a raya is totally indicative of his general perspective, right? His general perspective is that Israel is really the only locus where you could do the mitzvahs properly. That's a Ramban idea that the Rashba picked up. Remember, the Rashba is a weight in his own right. So now you have a Rashi, you have, of course, the Rambans, but you have the Rashba as well, who takes it with runs with it and says, and that must also be why God prescribed only, you know, the agricultural mitzvahs in the land of Israel. Because, you know, Israel in general is the place where we do the mitzvahs. So wonderful, we have this whole core Zrayim, you know, topics, which are only going to be done in the land of Israel. So it's just fascinating. Yeah.
We talked about this book, Hidden Reality, by Brian Greene.
Yeah.
And one of his concepts of multi-universe is that, in essence, on like the timeline, there's a holographic universe. It's sort of like a virtual reality. And in some ways, what we do here is like a virtual mitzvah. It's like a virtual image if you're looking at the lens.
Right.
But it's not the real image.
So
it's sort of like it's a reflection, but not actually the actual
So, you know, you could explain in a variety of different ways. The Rav famously, I heard this from one of the Rav's Talmidim on a tape that Rabbi Rakefet mentioned, the Rav was, you know, very, very, very taken aback with this doctrine of the Ramban. He thought it was, you know, extreme, to put it mildly. And he famously said about this, he says, "I'm not mechuyev to understand every Ramban. And this Ramban, I don't understand." So, okay. But the Ramban works the following. You just have to have an appreciation of how he has an internally coherent theory, which is, make of it what you will, but it's just remarkable. So the Ramban works this into his most famous doctrine in Sefer Bereishis. What's the Ramban's major theory of Sefer Bereishis? That what? So he takes the Mamari Chazal, that the Avos kept the entire Torah very seriously amongst the Rishonim. But what does he say? What's the Ramban's twist on that? The Ramban, what would he say, based on what you know now about the Ramban in general, about Eretz Yisrael? That Eretz Yisrael is only the only true locus for the mitzvos.
That the purpose of Sefer Bereishis is to show us the importance of Eretz Yisrael.
Well, that's the Rashi. Remember the famous Rashi, why didn't the Torah start with HaChodesh HaZalachem? Mm-hmm. But what would the Ramban say? Just put it together. The Ramban will say that the Avos only kept the Torah where?
In Israel.
So, if you don't appreciate the Ramban's general idea, it just seems so strange, because if they kept the Torah, they kept the Torah. If they didn't keep the Torah, they didn't keep the Torah. Why would they only keep it in Israel? That's so random. But now, put it together. What does the Ramban really think? The Ramban really thinks that, no, in general, the Torah is really in Israel. Mm-hmm. So after Matan Torah, we have this idea that, okay, the Torah is now universally binding, and especially when you go into Gala, Shelo Yulu Aleichem Chadashim, you should always do them, and they're your Chayev in that sense of the term.
Well, that would be sort of the Raya. Why does it start with Lechacha?
But just 1 second, but when it came very prior to Matan Torah, so the Avos were living in a kind of, you know, straight reality, mm-hmm, without this mitigating factor of Shelo Yu Aleichem Chadashim, mm-hmm, the practice Sifrei. Mm-hmm. So it makes perfect sense that the Avos would only keep the Torah in the land of Israel. Now, what is the Ramban says something which I think Lule Devarav, and the Ramban not say it, I think it's scandalous and almost offensive, but the Ramban says it. Whose death does the Ramban explain using these terms? Again, if the Avos only kept the Torah in the land of Israel, and the Torah prohibits marriage of sisters. Very good, exactly. So the Ramban says that Yaakov couldn't be married to two women in the land of Israel. In Chutz Laaretz, there's no problem. Where did he marry Leah and Rachel?
Right.
In Chutz Laaretz. Right. So as soon as they came back, Be'od Kivras Eretz Levo Efrasa, one of them has got to go.
Right.
Wow.
But you see, the Ramban takes this idea very, 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 very seriously. So let me just read the Ramban. Let me just read the Ramban, then we'll take all the questions. But this is the sixth source. I just want to show you, if you don't appreciate the Ramban's broader theory, so this really sounds quite nuts, but because the Ramban is of this view in general about Eretz Yisrael, and again, I just want to. It's a lot of things, but I just want to say one thing that you can appreciate, irrespective of how you come down on this issue. Like I said, lulei dvarav, it's the Ramban, so you know, hinei anachnu afar tachas raglav. So you know, we read it and we marvel. But what I want to impress upon you is the godless of the man to put together such a complex and elegant theory. You see, it sweeps across the whole Torah. It works from Bereishis. You see, this was his pan theory. It's kind of amazing that the human mind could have constructed a theory which works together the mitzvah of Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, the various sifreis about Shkula Keneged Kol HaMitzvos and practice, with the whole story of Bereishis. I mean, whatever you think of it, just to have constructed such a theory is breathtaking. That's what I think. V'aniri elai midas rabbeinu shelamed Avraham Avinu haTorah kula beruach haKodesh. Okay, obviously there was no Har Sinai yet, so how did he learn it? Through prophetic engagement. V'asak ba'u v'tami mitzoseh v'sadoseha v'shamar osah kula k'mi she'enu mitzuvah v'oseh. Obviously he wasn't mitzuvah v'oseh, right? This is prior to Matan Torah. U'shmirasa osa haya ba'aretz bilvad. V'yakov b'chutz la'aretz nasa chayos. V'chein amram. Ki ha'mitzos mishpat Elohei ha'aretzein. That's a phrase that we saw later on as well. Who also picked up on that phrase? The Rashba. Afal pi shehuz harnu b'chobas ha'gov b'chol makom. U'kvaram zurav usenu ha'sod hazeh. Right, b'sifrei dvarim. That's a sifrei, right? The rabbis explaining. Vani aircha bo be'ezras Hashem. I'm going to get there. Those Rambans we already saw. Okay, etc., etc. So this is just a Ramban in Toldos or Ekev Asher Shemar Avraham Bitkoli Vayishmar Mishmarti Mitzvos Chukosa V'Torosai. So later on in Bereishis, that's how the Ramban explains why one of them had to go. Okay, I know there were a lot of questions. Igor had a question. Steve had a question. Go ahead.
Even this one, so we can say it's very simple because they became non-systematic. Conversion.
Hold on, one more time. I just didn't follow.
Let me just. The question is why we can marry two sisters? Because we married them because they did conversion. So when they converted to Judaism, we can stop becoming sisters.
Oh, okay, I think what Igor is asking, yes. Correct me if I'm wrong, is that Igor's asking from the sugya of Gershon Yiskayar Katan Anola Adami. Right, okay, but presumably that halacha for the Ramban, again, you know, the Ramban takes these ideas, you know, it is methodologically valid to ask such a question for the Ramban, because the Ramban's presuming that the laws of the Torah are in effect, but the idea of Gershon Yiskayar Katan Anola Adami, that may not you know, be the same halacha in the pre-Matan Torah world. That would be a major assumption on your part. So I'd be skeptical of applying that. Yeah, Steve, you had a question.
So you chayav if you don't keep the mitzvot in Chutz La'aretz according to the Ramban. What is your if you're actually over a mitzvah? What is your own issue?
Nothing.
And
whoa,
in Chutz La'aretz because you're not is nothing.
That would be
because they were keeping it b'toras misha enu mitzu v'aviosa. They weren't commanded.
This is a mitzvah. I say actually, so go back and settle. So we all now. In essence, violating a very important mitzvah by staying here and not going
back. Okay, good. So that's the big question. Certainly, for the Ramban, there's no question that you're revatal mitzvah saseh. The question is what you're doing even worse than that? When we get to the Gemara and Yom in the end, we'll...
Is it the level of, like, Korban Pesach?
Right. 100%. Yeah, so that's a very serious question. That's the question that I'm going to raise at the end. Right. That's very important. Very, 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 very important. And what I'll try to show you is not just the Ramban, but it's a Rambam as well. Okay. So, obviously, you know, we have so much... There's so much going on right now. Let me just show you a few things. Remember we mentioned the shita of the Bali Atosos, that it's only going to be a mitzvah depending on your capacity to observe the mitzvos hatliyos ba'aretz. Okay, so I just want to read to you two tshuvas that came up in a few hundred years with the late Rishonim. One of them is from the Mabit, Moshe ben Yosef Titrani, who is a rabbi in Svad and subsequently in Yerushalayim. So the shayla came up, Yilamdenu Rabbeinu, this is source 12, sorry about that, I should have said that, source 12. We everything up until then we've seen. We saw the Rambans, we saw the Shita of the Bali Atosos. I want to read to you two tshuvas, one from the Mabit, one from his Talmud, the Maharit. And then start to deal with the Rambam issue. Okay, so Yilam Din Rabbeinu Ruvin Shenadar Sheim Yelo Kach VeKach Sheyidor Bitzvat VeAtan Niskayim Hadaver VeAviv Imo Eno Manichem Osel Alechas LaDorasham VeGam Ken Ishto Eno Rotz LaDorasham VeToana Shekasuv Biksuvo Shelo Yotzienu LaDor Bishum Makom Acher. Fascinating question. A guy took a neder and he said, if Hashem does this and this for me, and the issue was, I think, if I remember the tshuva correctly, he said, if God gives me a male offspring, then I'll move to Israel. I'll be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Yeshiva Eretz Israel, if there is such a thing. Right. So now the shaila came up as follows. Okay, what were the mitigating factors? Number one, who didn't want to go? His wife didn't want to go. And in her ksuva, it said, it was stipulated in the ksuva that he can't take her anywhere else. Okay? Mm-hmm. Number two, who else? I mean, again, this is hundreds of years ago, but it's the same issues that you have today. Who didn't want him to go? And what does they say? There's a mitzvah of kibud av ve'eim, and the mitzvah of kibud av ve'eim is a very serious one. We know who was punished for it.
Yaakov.
He's quoting it from Maimer Chazal that Yaakov, the 22 years that he wasn't around his father, Yitzchak, right? He was, you know, in Laban's house for 20 years, then the year and a half when he came back to Israel, right? Chazal are particularly critical of that time. He didn't go to visit his father. So Chazal say, Mida Keneged Mida, who was taken from him for 22 years?
Yosef.
Because Yosef was 17 when he was sold, and he was 39 when the family was reunited. So that's the Shaila. So the tshuva, again, it's a long tshuva. I just picked out a few lines. It's a remarkable tshuva. Chayev l'kayim nidro. He's chayev to go to Israel. Ve'eno chayev l'chosh l'tzavas avi v'imro sh'amr lo sh'lo yelech delfin per kamdi yivamos dim amar lo avi v'imro ha'tamei oh he tamei. Become tamei if you're not allowed to. You're going, oh, al ta'chzir or don't return in aveda lo yishma d'chsev ishimo v'aviv tiro v'ashab sosai tishmoru kuchem chayavim b'chvodi k'd'chsev b'seife dekra ani Hashem v'chanami hu v'aviv chayavim l'ador b'eret Yisrael ve'ein lo onesh al she'enu mekayim mitzvos kibud av ve'eim shegam hem yicholin lalos Imo v'iskayim beis mitzvos yeshiva saretz Yisrael v'kibud aveim. A shocking conclusion. There's no other way to say it. So he says, just like if your parents ask you mechal Shabbos, your parents ask you to do any other aveira, if they ask you not to go to the land of Israel, that's equivalent. So that's not kibud aveim to listen to them. Kibud aveim is subject to all the other mitzvos of Torah. But not only that, he says it's an efshar l'kayim shneim. You could really do both because what could you? They could go there. Yeah, they might be elderly. They might not be able to travel. They might not speak Hebrew. They might have their friends here. None of that. So the mabit is not sympathetic. So you could say, number one, you know, who said it was a big mitzvah? Rambam doesn't count it. Reb Chaim Cohen says it all depends on whether they'd be able to do yeshiva, Eretz Yisrael. So I just want to show you, you know, people like to say, oh, it's only the Ramban. But here you have other Rishonim, the Mabit is a, you know, a veritable Rishon, who assumes, as Dever Pashat, that it's a mitzvah like any other mitzvah. And he quotes the Maimer Chazal of, your parents tell you to violate Shabbos, would you listen to them then? Their parents tell you not to live in Israel, would you listen to them then? So what about, again, I didn't print this part of the tshuva, but what about the fact, what's that?
Where does he live?
What's that? The Mabit, well, the Mabit was from Chutzarts, but then he himself came to Israel, so he did put his mouth where his money was on that one, or his money where his mouth was. I always get that phrase backwards. But what about the wife's ksuva? It says you can't take her anywhere else. So if I remember the tshuva correctly, again, I think this is in there, unless, you know, I imagine it, but I don't think I did, is that no, because that would be a case of masnal mashkasa batara. If you put a tznai into the ksuva that said you can't take me anywhere, clearly that must not include Israel, because going to Israel, you can't take a tznai, you can't take me to Israel, because that would be a violation of the Torah. And as we know in ksuvos, right, the Mishnah Ayos and ksuvos talk about, of course you can take her to Israel, and if she doesn't want to go to Israel with him, then she's a moredah, she's rebelling against what are the normal obligations. I just want to show you one more tshuva. This is the tshuva of the Maharit, Rabbi Yom Tov Tzahalon, who was a Talmud of the Mabit. He was also a Talmud of the Alshech, if I remember correctly. Okay, the Ode, this is kind of an amazing thing. I love this tshuva. The Ikar Atam Yishum Kedushas Aritzel Mitzvos Yishivasu Afilu Bizman Azeh Bechorbana Kemosh Katz Ramban Aviperish Hamitzvos Mikra Divishavtim Mosav Divishavtim Ba Maisi Uvde De Sifrei Ad Yishivas Aritzel Shkula Keneged Kol Mitzvos. So first of all, the Maharit says, who do I paskin like in terms of Mitzvos Yishivas Aritzel Afilu Bizman Hazeh? He's going with the Ramban. Who is that explicitly against? The Rambam is a little more, but who's it explicitly against? Because he's saying it's afilu bisman hazeh. Who said it's dafka not bisman hazeh?
Rabbi
Who said that? That there is such a concept that mitzvah sashivas Eretz Yisrael, but not bisman hazeh? The third shita. Remember, yes, no, it depends. The Reb Chaim Cohen.
Yes, okay.
Right? The Reb Chaim Cohen from the Bal Yatoso said that it's all going to depend on whether you can do the mitzvah satzliyos barat. So the Maharit is coming lafuke Reb Chaim Cohen. But as you'll see here, and this is what I really like about the tshuva, it's not just enough to disagree. This is the best part. It's not just enough to disagree. You say, the opposing view is so scandalous that nobody could have even said it. So watch what happens here. This is, I think, just awesome. V'iyisneo, and he's now working here with Reb Chaim Cohen. V'iyisneo lahani mile de Reb Chaim, if it were really so, as Reb Chaim Cohen wants to tell us, that the mitzvah yeshiva sarisol depends on other things, like mitzvah satzlius baritz, lo havu shaski mina ko aposkim rishonim v'achronim. Nobody quotes it. If it was really true what he said, somebody would have picked it up. Umatzasi b'tshuvos le'maharam, the Maharam Rutenberg, chakasa b'lashon hazeh, v'alki ra'isi she'esh b'nei adam bayim l'chalik b'im b'zman hazeh b'im b'zman habayis. The Maharam Rutenberg got wind of certain people out there who are mechalik between Yeshiva Saritzel Bisman Hazeh and Bisman Habayis, and Sarechani Levayer to Ein Lechalik Bazeh. The Maharam Rutenberg comes and lays down the gauntlet and he says, I want to tell you that ain't no such thing. Right? Lohaya Velo Nivra. Ein Lechalik Bazeh. Damrina Birushalmi Behil Shilak Suvos Adnal. And to brace the Ksuvos, Bisman Sheisrael Shruin Alad Masam, Behai the Yerushalmi Bisman Hazeh, meaning the Yerushalmi is talking about Bisman Hazeh, Apilo Hachi, Kofinis Ha'ishalalos Ad Kan, right? Those topics in Ksuvos are talking about even Bisman Hazeh, Shalobi Fnei Habayis, right? So if you could force a wife to go there, so obviously all of those statements of Chazal don't depend on the bias or not. And Mikan Atalomit Shadivir Rab Chaim Einon Miyisod HaTosus. Those words of Rabbeinu Chaim aren't proper of Tosus. Kis Milan Ubaki B'Divrei HaTosus Mi Maharam V'Harash. Right? Who knew more about the Bali Tosus? The Maharam was the greatest Bali Tosus of his generation. He authored all of the Tosus in Anyuma. And the Maharam is coming and saying, ain't no such thing. There is no such distinction between Bizman HaBayis and Shalom Bizman HaBayis. V'Harash Zal. Those are the ones who knew it. V'Heiris Einai Shematzasi Bagos Mordechai. Somebody pointed out to me, says the Maharit, that they found in the Hagos of the Mordechai, right, the Mordechai, the great Mordechai, who was a Talmud of the Maharam, the three great Talmudim of the Maharam Rutenberg, where the Rosh, the Mordechai, and the Hagos Maimunios, Kilashon Ezek, Kasa Rabbeinu Chaim, Kohen B'tshuva, Dehani Mila B'mehem Shaya Shalom, Avel Achshev Shadracha Mishubashem, Enu Yachal Lakufa, Dehavale Kemo, Chavetz Olicha Lemakom, Gedudei Chaya Velistim. Okay, in other words, the only defense that a woman would have if she's refusing to go up to the land of Israel is based on pikuach nefesh. In other words, if the husband wants to force her to move to Israel and she doesn't want to go, that's legitimate if it's just based on danger. Okay, v'afilu yamid la aravim miguf lamamon arvech arava tzarech adkan. Harei tshuvas Reb Chaim Cohen zal lo ba ela mitam sakana sadrachim. Umash kasa betosis ein mitzvah ledor ba'aretz Yisrael hagas talmid hi v'lav desamcha he klal. So in other words, let's go back to the Tosfos of Rabbeinu Chaim. What's the Maharit pointing out? He's saying only one part of that is even true. Eino noeg mizman hazeh de'ika sakanas drachim. That part of it is true. In other words, if you're going to limit your capacity to force a woman to go with you, a wife to go with you to Eretz Yisrael, sakanas drachim is legitimate. But the second part, v'ayi omer Rabbeinu Chaim da'achshav in a mitzvah l'dor b'Eretz Yisrael ki yesh kam mitzvah satzlius baritz v'kam ha'onshim t'enel yuchol nizar b'hem la'mod aleihem, the Maharit is convinced that Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen never said that. That was a Talmud that just put that in. But that idea isn't even real. It's not true. Nobody would make a distinction in terms of Yeshiva Yisrael Bizman Hazeh, Shalom Bizman Hazeh. So what's obviously most significant about this, and again, I'm not in a position to evaluate what you have to go to the historians to figure out what was really said and what wasn't said. Clearly the Maharam was opposed to this idea that there could be a chiluk. I think the simplest way to learn it is a machlokas between the Bali Atosos, that the Maharam and the Rosh and others were convinced of the Ramban's position. Again, not because the Ramban said it. They don't owe the Ramban a nickel, but they just felt that whatever you felt about mitzvah Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael, it wasn't going to be contingent on anything else. Bisman Abayah, Shalom Bisman Abayah, certainly wasn't going to be contingent on mitzvah Satzliyos Baretz. Evidently, there were those who thought it would be contingent on mitzvah Satzliyos Baretz. But what's really interesting, conceptually interesting, is that the Maharit thought it was such a crazy idea that nobody could have said it. Right? If you really don't take an idea seriously, then it's going to be a problem that somebody even suggested it. that one of the Rishonim even suggested. So that's why he says, some student who really didn't know what he was talking about that put that idea in there. Okay. Now, so that is a fascinating perspective. Now we have, in the time that we have left, what we have to do is establish the Rambam. Remember, we mentioned the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't count mitzvahs, yeshivas, or Eretz Yisrael. So let me now, let's go through a number of perspectives in the Achronim regarding what the Rambam's view was. So there's tshuva here of the Tzitz Eliezer, of Eliezer Waldenberg, who presents a particular explanation for the Rambam in the name of Rav Kook. Now, without knowing all that much about Rav Kook, you can realize that Rav Kook was going to be pretty disturbed by the fact that the Rambam didn't count yeshivas, Eretz Yisrael as a mitzvah. So watch what happens here. The Tzitz Eliezer quotes, "Azkir." This is source 14. Remember, the Rambam didn't enumerate the mitzvah of yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. "Azkir ben ozelaze rak masher isi b'shus toldos Yaakov mi baal sheira Yaakov chelachosh minishbat simin chesh amar al mechash al shal Rambam hishmit miminian mitzvos of mitzvos yeshivas Eretz Yisrael sherabos dibru al kacha poskim." Okay, Vidome Dematu Lagambi Shmei Demara and Hagon Rav Avram Yitzchak Cohen Cook Mipnei Shekvar Kalalanu Aram Bishorashim Shalom Bishorish Dalad Vehei Shein Limnos Tiyuim Hakolim HaTorah Kula Mitzvos Harbe Kiilu Yomar Ase Kol Mashet Tivisicha Umishum Kach Lomana Gam Mitzvos Yishuv Eretz Yisrael Bemitzvos Ase Mipnei Shehi Mitzvah Shekolelas Harbe Mitzvos Biyachad Kimosh Amru Mikol Makom Tziv Satorah Leishay Baaretz Kedei Lekayim Mitzvosah Harei Mitzvoso Shal Yishivat Yisrael Hi Mitzvah Kazo Asher Al Yedei Nas Al Yadav Nasos Mitzvos Harbe Vinikros Mitam Zem Mitzvah Kolelas Mitzvah Kazo Lo Chashav Aram Minyan HaMitzvah Shalom. Amazing. In other words, the Rambam gave us rules of how you count mitzvos. And the Rambam said something which isn't one mitzvah, but is a mitzvah kolalas. It includes countless mitzvos. It would demean that to count it as one of the 613. So the Rav Kook, takes the Rambam and flips it on its head. It's not that the Rambam downgraded Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. It in fact was upgraded because it would be. Right, it's the Ramban who diminishes Eretz Yisrael, kivayachol. Right, that the Rambam was the one who gave Eretz Yisrael its true stature by saying you can't limit it to one mitzvah. It's a giant mitzvah.
Sort of like the whole machlokus is whether you have actually commandment for
Anochi Hashem Elokecha.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So according to let's say this facetiously, but the Rambam is one famously who counts Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The Ramban came along for the Bahag and said, oh, why didn't the Bahag count mitzvah Anochi Hashem Elokecha? Even the Ramban himself counts a mitzvah, but again, he defended the Bahag not counting it by saying, "Of course, it's not a mitzvah because you can't have the Torah without Anochi Hashem Elokecha." 10-second tangent, just because I have it on my mind. I'm very frustrated. I had a debate with a young Jewish communal worker about whether you could have Judaism without belief in God. So I said, I really don't enjoy having these debates because we're just going to end up arguing about semantics. But I said, I'm not going to tell you that you can't enjoy bagels without believing in God. Obviously you can. You can have whatever you want. But I said that Judaism, by definition, includes certain things. Okay, one of those beliefs is that there's monotheism. Okay, that I don't think we need to fight too much about here. Right? And she kept on arguing, no, you can have Judaism without God. Judaism doesn't depend on there being God. I said, just call it something else. Do me a favor. Call whatever you believe something else. You can call it whatever you want, but just call it something else. Okay, because Judaism means certain things. Okay, such as amongst others, there is a God. Now, even the Ramban, right, and the Rambam, you know, they fought about a lot of things, but that they agreed about, right? Whether you count it as a mitzvah. So anyway, I'm not making too much progress, as you can see. There's a lot that divides us about that, but that's a great parallel. So Rav Kook wanted to say that the Rambam couldn't limit it to one mitzvah. It's just some arch mitzvah. So Rav Henkin destroys this pshat. Rav Henkin and Tshuva, I'll just write this, read this, because it's, I think it's a total and conclusive destruction of this pshat. I don't think that's pshat in the Rambam at all. Watch Rav Henkin says, "Uvishus tzeli zezer etc. B'shem hagon Rav Kook." Of course the Rambam thinks that there's a din d'oraisa of Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. Certainly, if you want to apply the Ramban's own standard, that Eretz Yisrael is the only environment in which you can really do any of the mitzvos, so certainly it's a mitzvah kolelos. If it ain't it's right, this is not the Pshat in the Rambam. Read what the Rambam said in Shoresh Dalet. What did he say? Yavou b'Torah tzivuyim v'azharos eina midvar miyuchad aval yichachlu mitzvos kulan ki'ilu yomar asei kol ma shetzivi sicha lasos v'ein panim limnos hatzivo eza mitzvah b'fnei atzma shehulo yitzav lasos ma'isa miyuchad sheya mitzvos asei ad tan lashono. In other words, there are certain general prescriptions which don't include a specific ma'isa, but they're like kedoshim tiyu, or do everything that I told you. Do everything that I told you doesn't contribute any new mice. It means all those things that I told you in the last 100 psukim, you should really do them. Okay? Harei shelo hotzi ala mitzvah she'ein ba ma'isem yuchad. The Rambam is coming to exclude things which don't add anything new. Ukamo hadugmo shehevi sham. And the Rambam told you his examples. Let the Rambam speak for himself. Kedoshim tiyu, o maltimus or las levavcham. You should remove the hardness of your heart. Ve'od ve'eino dome li yishav eretz Yisrael sheyesh bo ma'isem yuchad ladur ba'aretz. Ve'im nimtzem yichutz aretz lavor es ha'gavul ve'lavo la'aretz. There's a very specific... Right, there's a very specific and concrete thing that you should do. Pick up and move to Israel. So don't tell me, the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah of Yishuv the din d'oraisa because it didn't add anything. It adds one very, very basic thing. Close up shop. Call up nefesh b'nefesh. Say, I'm coming. How much are you willing to give me for it? And go! So Rav Henkin destroys this as a viable pshat in the Rambam. I think Rav Henkin is correct. What are some of the other perspectives? So the Megillas Esther is something that I consider even more scandalous. So the Megillas Esther, nobody really knows who wrote it. Some people think it was written in the 16th century in Italy. But anyway, this is what's interesting about learning. So remember I said, the Baha'i wrote his Sefer HaMitzvos. And the Rambam wrote an attack on it, and the Ramban wrote an attack on the Rambam's attack on the Baha'i, a defense of the Baha'i. So then the Megillas Esther came along and wrote an attack of the Ramban's attack on the Rambam's attack on the Baha'i. So the Megillas Esther is a quaternary work. It's not a secondary tertiary work, it's a quaternary work, a defense of the Rambam against the Ramban, who was just trying to defend the Baha'i. Okay, so I always imagine the Yeshiva Shalmala, right? It's just teams. It's like having a complex legal transaction, right? Where you got all head attorneys and you got the clerks, right? So you got the Rambam out front, and then the Megillas Esther is working in the back office writing briefs. So he says, the reason the Rambam didn't count in the midst of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael was why? So he says, "Venirli ki mashalom mina harav hu lefisha mitzvas Yerusha atzara tvishivasa lo naga rak vime Moshe Yoshua v'David," meaning the biblical times, "v'chol zman shelo galu me'artzam, abal achar shegalu me'al admasam, ein mitzvah zono heges ladaros, ades bias mashiach." So the Megillas Esther is basically reading the Rambam in light of who? Which Rishon that we saw? Megillas Esther is saying, the Rambam more or less agrees with whom? Who is the one who said, mitzvah yeshivas eretz Yisrael, that's going to be... Reb Chaim Cohen! So this is what I'd like to say. The Megillas Esther, Reb Chaim Cohen size is the Rambam. But again, lo hayav lo nivra, the Rambam never said that. The Rambam doesn't recognize any such distinction. The Megillas Esther, I think, is very, very, very dachak. So we saw at least two different approaches. You have Rav Cook's approach, who says, you can't limit Eretz Yisrael to one mitzvah because it's everything. And then you have the Megillas Esther's approach, which is that, it's really Reb Chaim Cohen. Other people wanted to say the Rambam just thinks it's a din derabanan. There are those who wanted to say it's part of the mitzvah of conquering the seven nations. The bottom line is, we don't really know why the Rambam didn't count it. We'll have to ask the Rambam himself when we have the opportunity. We can only speculate. But, and this is a but with a capital B, whether or not the Rambam really did think it was a mitzvah or didn't think it was a mitzvah is sort of besides the point. How so? Because people who don't really know the Rambam very well will always say, the Ramban, he was the big Zionist. The Rambam, not such a big Zionist. Because they know one thing, the Rambam didn't happen to count it in the Sefer Mitzvahs. But I'm going to read to you four halachos from the Rambam's Hilchos Melachim in the Mishnah Torah, leaving aside the Sefer Mitzvahs, which established conclusively that the Rambam paskened many gemaras that other people didn't pasken about the centrality and the chashivas of Eretz Yisrael. So why exactly the Rambam left the mitzvah of yeshivas Eretz Yisrael off his list is one thing, and it's an important question, but it in no way takes away from a broader pan-Rambam perspective about the centrality of Eretz Yisrael. Take a look at these Rambams in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Hay, Halachos Test 3 Yud Beis. Now, does anybody remember what the basic topic of Perek Hay is?
No, but let me say this. Ramban went to Eretz Yisrael because he had to leave for his life. The Rambam left on his own. Well, the Rambam did not have a need to say that the Eretz Yisrael is primary, whereas the Rambam did because he went to save his life.
Well,
it's just a very interesting.
Again, whether the Rambam made it to Israel or where he made it, we don't really know. Those last 2 years of the Rambam's life are a big, big question mark. You know, some people say that really is his kever in Tveria. We know the Ramban made it, and the Ramban did come to Yerushalayim. The Ramban writes about that. He found like 6 Jews there. It's an amazing thing. He was in Akko. The Ramban, Akko is a port city. And it is true. I mean, Herschel said it's true. Everybody knows why the Ramban left Spain. The Ramban left Spain because he won the disputation. This is why I always try to tell my younger students this. They say, if you're ever in a debate with somebody and the result is that you get expelled from the country that you're living in, you know that you won. Okay? So the Ramban won that debate. If he lost, right, that wouldn't have been so necessary for him to leave. But the Ramban, that was in 1263, obviously the debate, disputations, the Ramban came to Eretz Yisrael, which, you know, he was pretty happy about. But again, the Ramban felt a major achrayas to the Jewish community in Spain. So thank God for the Rashba, that the Rashba was there to pick up the slack. The Rambam says as follows. And again, you know, once you know these Rambams, whether or not he actually counts as a specific mitzvah sort of becomes besides the point to a certain extent, because you see that the centrality of Eretz Yisrael in terms of the thought of the Rambam is beyond question. Asur, let's say, Eretz Yisrael, the Chutz La'aretz, the Olam.
Wow.
Okay. Ella, right, and again, here you have an interesting thing. Ella lo motar lisa yisha lahatzel min akam ve yachzor la'aretz. Right, you should always, if you're going to learn, you're going to marry a woman, you're going to save your own life, you should always try to v'chein yotzehu l'schora, and you can leave, you know, to our business trip, certainly. Aval lishkon b'chutz la'aretz aser, elim kein chazak sham ha'ra'av, etc., etc. And then it gives you exactly which economic criterion have to be met. Yetzel chol makom sheyimtze bo revach, again, for parnasa, and parnasa, again, factors into saving. Aval bishem mutar latzeis ein amidas chasidus, even under dire straits, under tremendous pressure, right, it's amidas chasidus not to leave. Sharei, and here he quotes from, you know, Megillas Rus, which is upon us, harei machlon v'cholion shnei gedolei ha'gador hayu, u'mipneit sara gedolei yatsu. Right, they left because there was, what does it say in the beginning of Megillas Rus, right? Right, vayhi ra'av ba'aretz, bimei shvod ha'shoftim, vayhi ra'av ba'aretz, vayilach ish mi beis lechem Yehuda, right, lagor bistei moav, hu vishto shno vanav, u'shem ha'ish ali melech, right? So, right, that's a fourth word in Megillas Rus is, right, it is vayhi ra'av ba'aretz.
And you said that he was actually a very problematic figure. Precisely because of that, right?
Yeah, so that's what Rambam says. Sharei machlon v'chilion shnei gedolei hador hayu, umneit sar gedolei yatsu, v'nischaivu kli alamakom. That even though they left under duress, it was technically permitted, it was in a broader sense a violation. So the Rambam is telling you that, you know, all else being equal, you should really never leave the land of Israel. Some people are machmir about this, again, and it gives you certain criteria. Now, I just want to make a subtle point. There are two ways that you could present this halacha. You could say, these are the cases under which it's permissible to leave Israel. In other words, you could have written the halacha in such a way as, mutar, latzeis, meretz, salachotar, tzlomo, taro, lisa, isha, lahatzel, minakam, etc., etc. But when the Rambam writes in the other direction, and again, this is a subtle point, it's true of almost every text. You want to read things very precisely. But there is significance to the formulation. Asur, latzeis, meretz, salachotar, tzlomo, ella, lomo Torah. So anytime you see that, in other words, he's giving you his conviction. Aser latzeis la'olam. And then I'll tell you when you can. But again, if you're a parent or a teacher or anything else, and you want to say, you can never ever do this, except in these cases. It's very different than if you say, here's when you can and here's when you can't. You get a very different feel. So there's a subtlety there in the Rambam that I think reinforces the point. Okay. But the Rambam's not satisfied with that. G'dolei ha'chamim ayu menashken kol tchumei Eretz Yisrael menashken avaneo misgagun and alafara. Right? The Rambam quotes from these beautiful agadatas that they would roll in the dirt and they would kiss the ground. V'cheinu omer kiratzu avadechas avaneo v'esafara yechoneinu. Again, why is the Rambam quoting this? It's safer halacha. But again, the Rambam is giving you a certain perspective here. Amru Chachamim, Kol Shochen Beretz Yisrael Abonosav Mechulin. Living in Israel brings forgiveness. Shenemar Uval Yomar Shekein Chalisa Ama Yoshe Ba Nisuavon Afil Halach Ba Arba Amo Zocha Chayim Olam Haba. The Rambam here is quoting what seemed like a Agadatas, but again, the idea that a person has been Olam Haba simply by virtue of the fact that he is Shochen Beretz Yisrael, that he walks in Eretz Yisrael. These are all agadatas from the ends of Ksuvos. V'chein ka'kavur bani skaper lo. Even kavur in Eretzol is a kapara. That's what I mentioned before, that kavur is a serious business. V'chilu ha'makom shu'ubo misbeach kapar shenemar pasukin hazinu v'chiper ad maso amo. The adama of Eretz Yisrael is a kapara for Am Yisrael. U'v'peranus u'omra adma t'mei atambos v'enu dome kolad n'mecham v'kolas l'achar moso v'avav v'chein gdolei ha'chachamim ha'yum alichin meiseyam l'sham t'eu l'mad miyakov avinu v'yosei v'atzadik. He says you don't even need the Gemaras. If you just know your Chumash well, you'll see that Yaakov Avinu and Yosef HaTzadik took Gvur and Eretz Yisrael very, very seriously. In fact, you remember the Medrash I always like to quote, I think it's Tanchuma. Remember, the Medrash asks, why was it that Yosef HaTzadik was Zocha to Gvur and Eretz Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't? Then it gives a particular answer that Yosef HaTzadik was Modeh Be'aratzo, right? Ki Ganov Gunavti Me Eretz HaIvrim. Yosef HaTzadik said, when he was telling his story to the Sarmashkim Sarofim, he says, you want to know who I am? Ki Gunov Gunavti. Right? I think he said the Eishes Potiphar as well, that I'm a Jew. I come from the land of Israel. And Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was described as an Ish Mitzri, wasn't Mocha. And therefore, only Yosef was Zocha the Gvur in Eretz Yisrael. So there are a lot of things you can say about that Medrash. It's an important Medrash. But the whole premise of the Medrash, that Gvur Eretz Yisrael is a big deal. And that the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get Gvur Eretz Yisrael is a Genai for him. Okay, that's why people...
The Jewish one was Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a different ballgame.
Well, not according to the Medrash. The Medrash, the Medrash.
The Zohar says the Munchlan.
No, that everybody agrees to. But
so that's
but the Medrash. No. But he, God could have let him, God could have buried Lehefech. God could have buried him wherever he wanted.
But he didn't.
Yeah. So the Medrash. Okay, fine. Well, according to you, but it's machlokes between you and the Medrash. The Medrash said.
But the mix. Throw me into the mix.
What's that?
Throw me into the mix.
Okay. I retract what I said before. It's a machlokes between Herschel and Medrash. Medrash says it was a Ganai. Herschel says it's just because Hashem buried him. Again, if it were me, I would have said the same thing as you. I'm just saying, you know, the fact that Chazal considered a Gnai is indicative. Okay, etc. So then the Rambam goes on to say some other things. But again, if you know these four halachos in the Rambam, you don't have so much of a question in the end. You know, is the Rambam coming down on the side of, you know, so to speak, we'll put it in the crass terms of people, is the Rambam a Zionist? Anybody who knows the Rambam doesn't have to ask such a question. It's obvious what the Rambam's feeling about Eretz Yisrael is, whether or not he counts it. Now, I want to just conclude our entire discussion today, and I thank you for your patience that we've gone a little later today, with a Gemara in Yoma. The Gemara in Yoma I first encountered in the Tshuva of the Tzitz Eliezer that we cited before, regarding, you know, the consequences. Steve asked, what are the consequences of not moving to Israel? So, you know, people who want to frame that conversation, well, the Ramban says it's a mitzvah, the Rambam doesn't, Reb Chaim Cohen says it depends, I think really don't, as we've seen today, do justice to the full scope of the sikh. Remember those tshuvos that we saw of the Mahabit and the Maharitz talking about this, you know, the importance of keeping the neder to go up to the land of Israel, and that it, not going to Israel would be like violating, you know, one of the other mitzvos of the Torah. And what about the Ramban? You know, the Ramban's you know, perspectives about the need to develop the land of Israel, the fact that we can only really do the mitzvot of the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, there are people, there are contemporary people, especially in Israel itself, who, you know, who really go to town with that and say it's not just that you're locally compromised in terms of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. If you take the Sefer's perspective that we started with, your whole religious, the quality of your religious life is totally diluted. And it's, again, if you take that Sifrei's perspective, Shkula Keneged Kol HaMitzvos, the way the Ramban has it, because without it, you really can't do Ikar Mitzvos HaTorah. And remember what he said about the Avos. That's why the Avos kept the Torah in the land of Israel, because that's really where the Mitzvos are. So what does that say about anything you do in Chutz Aretz? So I just want to quote from a Gemara in Yoma. The Gemara in Yoma has a similar sentiment, but not so much in terms of it undermines your performance in the mitzvah, but what the spiritual consequences of Klal Yisrael are for people staying in Chutz Aretz. So Reish Lakish havi sachi biyardena. Reish Lakish was doing what? He was right? Swimming in the Jordan River. Now, what's the subtext of this conversation? What do we have? What do we know about Reish Lakish and the Jordan River? Yeah. So Reish, all the good stories of Reish Lakish always around the Jordan River. Reish Lakish, right? By profession, was a gangster, right? Reish Lakish was known as the Ari Shibiganabim. He was with he was not some mid level, second level gangster. He was a top gangster, and he used to hang around the Jordan River, and he actually was capable of jumping from one side of the Jordan River to the next. He was very athletic, so he was mugging Rabbi Yochanan. And this Gemara in Bava Metzia, a beautiful Gemara. So Rabbi Yochanan says, I see that you're very capable, very talented. Chelech lo raisa, you should really be using your strength for Torah. Right? You're a nice Jewish guy. You're obviously very capable. You're capable of running this whole, underground organization here that you've got. So why don't you become a Rosh Yeshiva? So, this isn't some art school story. It's much better than that. It's a Gemara. So Reish Lakish doesn't respond, you're right, now I want to be so religious, I want to do all those rules. So Reish Lakish says, you're accusing me of wasting my talent, I'll turn that right back around at you. So Rabbi Yochanan is a very handsome guy, and he says to
him, that's why he jumped into the river in the first place, because he thought Rabbi Yochanan was a beautiful woman.
Well, we're getting there. So Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Yochanan, you think I'm wasting my talent? You should be, hanging out there meeting women. You shouldn't be wasting away in a yeshiva somewhere. So that's why Reish Lakish responds to Rabbi Yochanan. Again, you see that he really was a sharp guy and a gangster, because Rabbi Yochanan says to him again, Chelech lo raisa. So he says to Rabbi Yochanan, Shufrach lenashi. Your looks should be, better spent, not on books, but, in the clubs. So anyway, so Rabbi Yochanan says, if you think that I'm good looking, you should see my sister, and you can marry her if you're Chozer Bechuba. Reish Lakish says, when you put it like that, now you're speaking my language. No, really. And that's the whole story. You can't have a mitoch shelo lishma ba lishma better than that. So anyway, it's the whole story. Then there's a whole incident.
I like the conversation where Rabbi Yochanan goes to his sister and says, guess what, I've got a great guy for you. He's the chief highwayman.
Yeah, but you see, Rabbi Yochanan sort of respected his excellence in his chosen field. Easy, you see. So anyway,
his sister liked the bad one.
That's the evidently not the first one either. So Reish Lakish have a sachi biyardena. That's the whole background a little bit. So Reish Lakish returns to the site of crime. Remember what happened is that after Reish Lakish started learning, what does it say?
He couldn't jump
anymore. So the Gemara comments about that. Torah matisha koach shel adam. The Torah takes away and now you don't right. Before I knew this Gemara, my high school basketball coach observed the same thing. He says, when the kids, he says, they're always better in 11th grade than they are in 12th grade. Because 12th grade, they start to get more serious, they take their learning more seriously, and then their basketball goes down. They don't play with the same edge. Okay, what can you do? Asa Rabbi Rechana Yaiv Le'yada. So Rabbi Rechana was coming from Bavel. Remember, Yochanan Reish Lakish were the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael. That's why so much of Talmud Bavli is the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan would go to Bavel, Rav Dimi and Ravin, and tell them what Rabbi Yochanan was saying in Eretz Yisrael. The people in Bavel were very machsh of Rabbi Yochanan. They wanted to know what Rabbi Yochanan was saying. So it was easy to get back and forth from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Rechana is coming from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So he's crossing the Jordan River. So Rabbi Rechana, I'll put it in contemporary terms, basically gives him a towel. He gives him a hand to get out. So he's offering him a towel. So Reish Lakish says, I want no part of your towel. Amar le Eloha! Sanina lechu, I hate you guys. Dichsev im chomai nim la teres kasev im dalas inatzer la luach ares im asizim asmecham kachom elizim kulcham meyezra nim shaltim kasev shen rekav sholid bo achshav shalizim kitulasos nim shaltim keresh rekav sholid bo. Okay, so basically the way that Rashi explains the Gemara is Reish Lakish comments here, had the people from Bavel come to Eretz Yisrael, then Hashem's Shechina would have dwelled amongst the Jewish people, right? If you came up in force en masse, alisam kulcham b'me'ezra, when you had the chance in the days of Ezra, right, nimshaltim kikesef. Take a look at Rashi, sanin lechol lechol b'nei Bavel. Reish Lakish says, I'm not taking your towel, I don't want anything to do with you. Shelo alu b'me'ezra, umanu shchina milavo milashuv lishros b'vayesheni. Sharekab Shalitba, Miktaso Tolas, Ochalto, Misocho, Miktaso Kayam, Kach Kitsas Chazon Shchina Shayasham, Vikulo Elohaya. There was no real, the full extent of Gilei Shchina never came back to the land of Israel because the Jewish people didn't take Aliyah seriously. Right? They only were Ola Kitzlasos. Okay, so the point of the Gemara, and this is what the Tzitz Eliezer points out in the Tshuva, is that you shouldn't think that there aren't spiritual consequences to the choice of staying in the Galus. Meaning, the people who really want to minimize say, it's just one mitzvah, and it's maybe just the Ramban. But as we saw, it's not true. We saw the Rashi, saw the Rashba, we saw the Mabit, we saw the Maharit, we saw the various Achronim for the Rambam, especially the way the Rav Kook read the Rambam. And forget about the way that the Achronim read the Rambam. Just look at the Rambam's Hilchos Melachim itself. You know, Kol Adar Beretz Yisrael, Kol Misha Holei Chadal Adar Mos Beretz Yisrael. And so you take it to the next level and you say, not only is it a local compromise, but you're compromised more generally because of that Sifrei, that it would undermine all of your Shmiras HaMitzvos. But then beyond that, what really emerges from the Gemara and Yoma, it's not just an issue of compromising your observance of the mitzvos, but what does it become? It's a question of national consequences, is that you're diminishing the kind of interaction with the Shechina that the rest of the Jewish people have, right? It's not just that, okay, the Shechina is present in a certain intensity in the land of Israel, irrespective of the population there, right? The Gilui Shechina, even in Israel itself, depends, at least to a certain extent, on the kind of population that you have there. So as Eliezer points out in the Tshuva, you know, I'm not being critical of anybody here. I'm just very critical of myself. This is, I think, a personal failure of mine. So it's important to be aware of, you know, And with that, I'll just conclude a little bit with that medrash that I spoke about before. You know, life is very complicated. Very, 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 very complicated. And Judaism, because it speaks to real life, is also very complicated. Obviously, there's great value to what we're doing here right now. I mean, learning in a shul in the Galus. Remember that Gemara in Megillah which talks about Atzid in Bate Midrashos and Bate Knesios and Bavel to roll into the land of Israel. In other words, that's the Gemara's colorful way of saying is that it's a makom Torah, sort of like a spiritual island, if you will, that has great significance, and don't think it's detached from the broader project, the broader spiritual project of Klal Yisrael. And certainly we believe that. But another thing, and I think this is really important, that we want to communicate to ourselves first and foremost, and then to our families, our students, our Talmidim, etc., is this idea of even if we ourselves haven't been perfect, we haven't, we're not perfect Jews, and maybe we haven't been perfect with respect to this Gemara and Yoma, with respect to the topic of Eretz Yisrael. In my view, we haven't. I am not exonerating myself. We shouldn't be embarrassed to say, and this is, I think, true in life in general, and really true in this area, okay, we're not perfect, but we always aspire that the next generation should do better than we do. And the worst thing a person can do in this situation is to rationalize and say, because I didn't do it, it must not be of value. Much, much more honest and better to say, maybe I'm not perfect. Maybe the Talmidim, maybe the next generation, maybe somebody else will be better than me. Now, that's the way that I prefer to say it. But that medrash that we say that Yosef's zechus in terms of being buried in the land of Israel was not that he went back to Israel when he had the first chance, but the language of the medrash was Moda Be'aratzo. He never denied where his roots lay. And that's really important. I think that's what we want to strike. It's very, very important. Now, I remember, I want to mention in conclusion something that I was on a conference, or been at a conference, young rabbis from the various movements over this past summer. And it really struck me how wonderful imperfection is. We were talking about the history of Yiddishkeit and the Torah in America, and I was having a discussion with somebody there from another group, very, very fine young man, and he said to me, you know, for you, this is Galus. For me, it's not Galus, because he doesn't have any kind of ideological centrality land of his. I was very struck by that, and I said, I never appreciated how much imperfection is worth, meaning the idea of saying, okay, we're not perfect, maybe for materialistic reasons, maybe for family reasons, maybe for a combination of both reasons which are good and not so good, whatever the reasons are. Some I think are very good, some I think are not so good. We're not perfect, let's just put it that way. We're not perfect, but we haven't deceived ourselves and we haven't rationalized and said, okay, it's not an ideal. And Ashrei, a community that can maintain that perspective and say life is complicated and Yiddishkeit is complicated, and there's great value to Shmiras HaMitzvos, there's great value to Talmud Torah, there's great value to developing Jewish life wherever a person is. And one of the ways that we do that is to say we do hope that our children will outstrip us, and we'll take great pride in their accomplishments if they're able to fulfill that aspect of our tradition of living out the dream of Eretz Yisrael in a fuller sense than we've accomplished. And I never had as much of an appreciation of the capacity of our community to be self-critical in that way, and still to project a true and honest message, a message that bespeaks integrity to our Mesora, of the centrality of Israel, even whilst saying, maybe we're not perfect. Ashrei a people that can do that. Okay.